WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. Disgraced Theranos CEO Elizabeth Holmes is sentenced to more than 11 years in federal prison for fraud. She was convicted in January of duping investors about a blood testing device that could detect a multitude of diseases and conditions from a few drops of blood. It never worked. The sentence is shorter than a 15-year penalty requested by federal prosecutors, but far tougher than the leniency her lawyers sought for the mother of a year-old son with another child on the way. Attorney General Merrick Garland names a special counsel to oversee investigations related to Donald Trump.
The Justice Department's investigating classified documents found at Trump's Florida estate, and there's also a separate probe involving the Capitol riot and bids to undo the 2020 election. Both have political implications, involving an ex-president running for the White House again. Given that and President Biden's intention to run,
it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel.
Garland says Justice Department veteran Jack Smith's appointment will let prosecutors continue their work indisputably guided by only the facts and law. In a statement, Smith says he'll conduct the probes independently and in the department's best traditions. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Weekend plans scuttled in the Buffalo, New York area. Lake effect snow is bringing feet of snow. Snowing now and will keep on snowing. National Weather Service's Zach Taylor.
The next 24 hours will be the worst, and then by later tomorrow and certainly by the end of the weekend, conditions will begin to improve.
The storm is being blamed for the deaths of two people in what officials say were cardiac events while shoveling snow. The worst snowfall so far was south of Buffalo. National Weather Service reported single-day totals of 2 feet in many places along the eastern end of Lake Erie. This is AP News.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hims.com/joy. At Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Thank you. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. All Wisconsin households are now eligible for free at-home rapid COVID tests. People in Wisconsin can place an order online every month for one free test kit that contains five rapid antigen COVID-19 tests, which are delivered to your door. The Say Yes COVID test program is offered through the Department of Health Services. Roadsides on and around the Menominee Reservation in northern Wisconsin are now bilingual. The new signs are in English and in the Menominee language. The dual language signs first appeared last year and will likely be added in other tribal communities. In sports, the Packers lost to the Titans last night 27-17. Badger volleyball's at Rutgers tonight. Football plays at Nebraska tomorrow. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Restaurant.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook any cookie.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. And we want to say hello to everybody. We talk about local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are, and yes, they have been. It's awesome. So it seems like the news here is taking off a little bit. Hopefully, the orange one can get convicted here. I'm liking this. Garland named special counsel to lead Trump-related probes. Bingo. So I'm excited about that, and also excited to hear what other news that we talk about here. We talk about news that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get to that right away with Ogama with the news.
Absolutely. Bonjour, Anin, everybody. I'm Ogama Ginuakwe. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some news for you here today. I know we've been talking about earlier this week the construction problems that were created during the construction of the Line 3/93 pipeline created by Enbridge here in Minnesota. And there have been additional water breaches and what is most likely permanent damage that's happened to Minnesota's bogs, waterways, and key watersheds and wetlands in Minnesota, which you can find more information out on and follow video on by checking out Wadukawad Amekwag on YouTube, also known as Those Who Help the Beaver on YouTube. They've got all of their videos on their site, and they just went public with their findings a year after the Line 3 pipeline construction has finished and what those damages still look like here in Minnesota. However, truthout.org just put out an article this week talking about what happened with a sheriff here in Minnesota retaliating against lawyers who were scrutinizing the arrest of water protectors during the construction of Line 3 going through 2020 and almost all through 2021. The article says that court documents have revealed that the Aiken County, Minnesota Sheriff Daniel Gouda has been a key figure in the repression of water protectors resisting the Line 3 pipeline and used his office to retaliate against efforts to subpoena him. The subpoenas seek to compel Sheriff Gouda to testify under oath about an arrangement with the pipeline company Enbridge Inc. that has seen his office receive $355,393 of direct funding, in addition to tens of thousands of dollars more in excessive assistance from other agencies, all of which was funded by Enbridge Incorporated. And those funds reimburse law enforcement for things like crowd control materials and time spent policing water protectors who opposed the company's Line 3 tar sands pipeline, completed this past September in 2021. The arrest of water protectors were directly funded by Enbridge. The defense attorney, Sarah Kilbarg Stumpf, argues that Enbridge's funding and support of law enforcement in a total in the state of Minnesota and local law enforcement of $8.6 million in agencies all across the state is a violation of the due process and equal protection rights of those facing criminal charges, since the scheme amounts to third-party influence over how the law gets enforced. Corporations, the article says, are not supposed to be involved in how the law gets applied. This was something, Robert, that we were talking about a lot during the active construction of the Line 3 pipeline. And I just wanted to let our listeners know, you know, a year later, that this is still an issue. The escrow account in Minnesota, devised by the state of Minnesota and Enbridge Incorporated in 2018, was set up to reimburse law enforcement who respond to water protectors opposing Line 3. There's expenses for security patrols, helmets, gas masks, handcuffs, shields, protester removal, personal cost for protest activity, sports apparel, riot shields, baklavas, training in 2020 in preparation of Line 3 events, wages and housing costs for traveling law enforcement. And the fund, this is funded law enforcement response that's produced 964 prosecutions and over 1,000 arrests of water protectors in Minnesota, according to the Climate Disobedience Center. So this is a massive case happening here in Minnesota about the corporate influence over law enforcement with Enbridge here with the state. So we'll be following this case closely as it continues through court. I know a lot of people involved in Line 3 are still facing some levels of criminal charges throughout the state. So that is definitely something that we're going to be following here. And especially as we expect these types of issues to come over to our relatives in Wisconsin, right, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. They don't play fair. And we know that. And we're look out, Wisconsin, because here they come.
Yes, exactly. And Wisconsin, I believe, has enacted, and you may not be able to quote me on this because I haven't been able to take the time to research this, but I had heard that Wisconsin had possibly enacted some anti-protesting laws, Robert. Do you remember hearing anything about that recently?
No, I haven't, but I think we're going to reach out to a couple people that we know in Wisconsin to give us the breakdown next week.
Yes, I hope so, because it makes my heart heavy to think about that. But I had heard that some of those laws were passed, which would make resisting a pipeline like that in Wisconsin all that much harder. And those odds would really be stacked against you. So my next story is a bit of a national story. The White House just wrapped up its annual Tribal Youth Summit, and it's the first one that's been held since 2016 in person, first one in person since 2016. Participants were 14 to 24 years old, and the forum was actually started under the Obama administration and, of course, went dark during the Trump administration. So they work with the Center for Native American Youth and the United National Indian Tribal Youth Groups to select participants for this. And some of the issues that they talked about were how Native Americans and Alaska Natives are really at the highest rates for suicide, especially for young people, more than any other rates in the entire United States. And, you know, they talked about issues in the community that need to be addressed, you know, compensation being involved for the government, for elders who come and educate our government on Native laws and information. Relevant curriculum and accurate teachings of history in the United States was brought up, and language classes for Indigenous people at a college level were also brought up. And I want to give a shout out to Polly Danette Claw from ICT, who I believe was there in person and covered this article and kind of put all this information together for us here. it's just, I'm really excited to see Native youth getting so involved and at that national level to really raise their voices and talk about these issues, because mental health services and, you know, especially for our LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit communities, for Native people, they're, for mental health, the Native American people are some of the least treated people for mental health issues. And in Indigenous communities, there's a lot of access issues. And that really affects our youth, Robert.
Yeah, totally. And it's handed down, too. We have generational trauma that's been handed down, and we have like certain things that we really, really need to be aware of.
Right. And then on top of that, you know, many of the nations on Turtle Island right now are still in the midst of recovering from COVID-19. So those are another, that's another big part of what needs to happen with Native communities. And then I'm just going to give a teaser here for something I'm going to talk about. On Monday, news just came out that the Federal Court of Appeals is giving Oak Flat another chance. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is going to rehear Apache Stronghold's appeal to save their sacred land in the Southwest. So I'll touch base more on that tomorrow, Robert. Or on Monday. Hey, sorry.
Yeah. Friday. Well, maybe tomorrow. No. Oh, hey, up next, State Senator Mary Kunis. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Pini Gigi Ogama, as always, for the great news and update.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
The Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association invites you to join two community forums happening this week. On Monday, November 21st, hear about Midtown Phillips Community Partnerships and the call for 2023 outreach partners. Then on Tuesday, November 22nd, learn about harm reduction with the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Both the Monday and Tuesday meetings will begin at 6:30 p.m. Visit MidtownPhillips.org for more information and a link to join the meetings by Zoom. That's MidtownPhillips.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute. And I want to remind everybody that All My Relations Arts is currently showcasing the She Who Lives on the Road to War, which is an immersive dance performance created by Rosie Sima's Dance. And there are limited tickets available now between now and December 15th to see this live at All My Relations Arts Gallery. Go to allmyrelationsarts.com for tickets, or go to NACDI.org and click on All My Relations in the top right corner.
Oh, awesome, Ogama. Hey, also, just a quick reminder, I did not bring this up, that the Native Roots Arts or Trading Post in downtown Minneapolis is open again, and they've been doing a tremendous amount of business these last 2 days, and we're going to be down there, Ogama, until I guess January 15th, so or 13th or something like that. So my daughter, Jelaine, my Weeha is down there running the store, and things are looking really good. So stop down for your Christmas and Native needs. Ho! Hey, I always see great people running around. And yes, last night I ran into State Senator Mary Kunish, and always great to see you, and always, always great to have you on the show, State Senator.
Well, good evening, everyone. Happy to be here. I think we've run in the same circles, Robert. Last night was a really great event. It was the Native Rise event, the leadership in the across the Twin Cities, but also some of greater Minnesota. And there was just a number of really spectacular folks there. The work that's being done and has been done by Native leaders in this state has been, you know, astounding when we look at it. And as we look at the new leadership that's sort of starting to emerge, it's pretty fascinating to see all the good work being done.
Yeah, well, you're a trailblazer, and I don't think we talk about that enough, Ogama, about how much a state senator is a trailblazer. And, you know, someday, hopefully in the near future, you won't be the only state senator that's Native American and also a woman. So I just want to give you a quick shout out in that regards, because of sometimes we take it for granted. So again, State Senator Mary Kunish, out of Minnesota, we really appreciate your work and what you do for the community, your community, our community, and of course the Native community.
Well, thanks, Wopilatanka, big time, Robert. That's really that really makes me feel good. You know, for a long time in my life, I kind of searched for ways to interact and participate and contribute to the well-being of our Native communities here in Minnesota. I didn't grow up on a reservation. We didn't have tribal connections here in Minnesota. My mom's family is from the Standing Rock Nation out in South Dakota. And so, you know, there always seemed to be, you know, something missing. And I think a number of my siblings felt the same way, as we grew up learning and understanding our heritage, but not really knowing where we can make those connections. And surprisingly enough, as a state legislator, I've been able to do that. And it is probably some of the most rewarding work that I've ever done in my lifetime. And so I feel really honored and in some ways indebted, and other days like sort of disbelieving that I'm in the position that I am, but hoping that I always have the opportunity to do good for our communities, not just our Native communities, but our those that are, you know, have struggled for generations and generations, you know, folks of color, those that can't pull themselves out of poverty, addiction, all of those things. And fortunately, I'm in a position to do that now, and I'm just really thankful.
Yeah. Hey, also, too, you know, we always have new listeners, and we're in the Civic Media Network, and we pick up stations, it seems like, every day. And we're on quite a few, over 10 stations in Wisconsin. And I wonder, you know, everything's kind of settled down from the election. I wonder if you don't mind just kind of telling our audience just a little bit of your story, because I think it's awesome. And then also what you've done about the MMIW, and just I know it's hard, but I'd like to have you talk a little bit about yourself and your journey, because I think a lot of our new listeners haven't heard that.
Sure. So as I mentioned, I am a descendant of the Standing Rock Nation. My mother was an enrolled member. My grandfather was born out in Fort Yates, and has a very interesting history, a family history out there. And my great aunt was Josephine Gates Kelly. She was the first Native chair in the Standing Rock Nation. There's still a lot of relatives out there. I hope to get out there this Memorial Day weekend and see them. And grew up here in Minnesota, born in St. Paul, but we moved to a small rural town just 80 miles north of the Twin Cities, where we pretty much ran ran the countryside. It was right where the Mississippi River and the Watab Creek meet. And Robert, one thing, I don't know if I've ever told you that, but when the Ho-Chunk were displaced, there was a small reservation or a village there in the little town that I grew up in. We found arrowheads and different things. There was the Indian Trail, literally called the Indian Trail. So I grew up in the, you know, rural Minnesota, came to the Twin Cities to go to school, ended up having three wonderful kids and now two grandkids, and an educator, library media specialist for 25 years. And when the opportunity came for me to run for public office, I was fortunate to have a daughter who was doing that kind of work already, and she helped me get elected, and that was 6 years ago. So for 4 years, I represented my community in the Minnesota House of Representatives, where I was the third Native woman to be elected to the House. We now have had five Native women in the Minnesota House. Two of them are left. One is our lieutenant governor now, and the other is retired. But I'm serving in the Senate. It's been 2 years that I've been in the Senate, was just reelected for a four-year term, the only Native person in the Minnesota Senate. And so the work that I've done has been around education a lot, public safety, but also issues that pertain to tribal issues. So one of the greatest things that I was able to accomplish was the task force to create a missing and murdered Indigenous women's task force. And we did that here in Minnesota in 18 months in spite of COVID, put out a really great report with a number of recommendations. And the very first recommendation was to create a permanent office of missing and murdered relatives here in Minnesota, in their state government. And we were successful in doing that. And we now have that established, and we'll continue to do the work that needs to be done to pretty much eradicate the violence, not just our women and girls, but we know that the high propensity of violence against our Native men and boys, our two spirits, is, you know, prevalent here in Minnesota as well as across Turtle Island. And so we will continue to do the work that needs to be done to, you know, stop that kind of violence and the racist behavior and some of the remnants of colonization here in Minnesota.
Hey, one of the things I wanted to just touch base with you, too, before we get into more, is that the lieutenant governor, our lieutenant governor of Minnesota, her mother just passed away, and we just want to really put out some comfort prayers to the family of Peggy Flanagan.
Yeah, it is hard to lose your mother like that, but from what I understand, Peggy was there with her mother when she passed. And from my own experience, there's it's hard to lose your mother or your parent or a loved one. But when you're able to be there and let them go through the process quietly and safely with the loved ones around them, it just makes their journey a little bit easier. And maybe a little bit easier for us to not have them here in our space. So condolences to Peggy Flanagan and to her family as well.
Right, exactly. And, you know, what's ironic, I think, when she was first running for lieutenant governor with the governor, her father passed. So this is kind of sad and ironic at the same time. So our prayers do go out, the state senator.
They do indeed.
Well, we got like another minute here, and one of the things that I know, just touching that you mentioned earlier this year, I think now that you've made this blueprint for the task force, now you're expanding it too to BIPOC.
Yep. We've also passed the Missing and Murdered African American Women's Task Force. And today, actually, I was on a Zoom meeting for about 4 hours as we fine-tuned the recommendations from that task force to share with the state legislature, again, hoping to create a permanent office to address, you know, the unique violence and patterns of violence for our African American community. And it's been another really rewarding project, and I'm hoping that we are going to be able to pass that in this next session. And we start here in Minnesota. Our next session starts January 3rd.
Awesome. Hey, I'm here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're going to talk a little bit here after this break, a little bit about how it feels to be in the majority now. So we're excited about that and going to be moving a lot of things forward, I'm sure. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Update. I'm Tim McGuire with an AP News Minute. Pfizer says its new booster shot may prove effective against additional coronavirus variants. AP's Jackie Quinn has this.
The original vaccine had been tweaked to address the Omicron variants, and the dominant one at the time was BA5. While this new shot does produce an immune response for that variant, it appears it can also target four additional Omicron subtypes, including the worrisome BQ11. A ninefold increase in antibodies against that variant. More studies are needed, and this data released by Pfizer has not been peer-reviewed. Moderna also recently announced early evidence its updated booster induced antibodies against BQ11, now responsible for some 24% of COVID cases.
Despite the updated boosters being available to anyone over the age of 5, just 30% of seniors are up to date, but only 13% of all adults. I'm Tim McGuire.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/joy. At Hymns, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right, get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/joy. That's 4hymns.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Wisconsin, like most states across the country, has a problem with training and retaining school nurses. Now the Department of Health Services has announced it will invest over $8 million to K-12 schools across the state to hire and retain school nurses. In a statement, the DHS says that the money will be used to recruit nurses, retain them with offerings like wellness activities and professional development. $174,000 in funding will go towards scholarships at UW-Madison School of Nursing to set up a pipeline for future school nurses. A 2018 report from the National Association of School Nurses found that more than 25% of schools in the country don't have a school nurse. Wisconsin projected to be short 20,000 nurses overall by 2035 because of rising demands for care and retiring nursing educators. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Plus a Black Friday bonus of up to $800 on packages from select brands. Shop now at WarnerStallion.com.
Hey,
Ritz Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. This is Ogumaganu Okwe, and I just wanted to let you know that MinSure helped me find a plan that worked for me for health coverage that I could afford, and obviously they helped save me money. Most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure, and they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. You can go to MinSure.org today to get started and get covered for the new year.
Hey, yes, you can. So we're here with State Senator, Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're excited that she won. And kind of want to talk about the governor, the Senate, and the House. But I know we were talking a little bit in our chat about what do you do leisurely here. And I know we all like I was watching smoke signals on the way home from New York, which kind of blew my mind that it was on the flight, which was cool. I hope it was just on there and not because of Native American Month, but also, you know, reservation dogs. We've had the guests on, and we've had guests of the people that worked and are on reservation dogs, Rutherford Falls, and there's a new series out, State Senator. Maybe you can give us, I know I watched the first two episodes, maybe you can give us a quick rundown on how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just started watching, when I can, the series Alaska Daily, and it's about a reporter that blows up a really important situation back in New York or wherever it was, and it turned out to turn around and bite her in the butt, and she ended up getting canned, and then eventually was asked to go up and join a newspaper in Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska, and the series is called Alaska Daily. But what is really interesting is that right now it is pretty much dealing primarily with missing and murdered indigenous folks up there, Alaska's up there. And I'm very much amazed by, at this point, it feels very accurate to me, the statistics they use, the examples, the responses, the roadblocks, especially with data and police, are really and truly so many of the things that I have heard as I've been connecting with community around missing and murdered situations. And so I know there is a concern that that it might be another one of those, I think Ogama said, white savior stories. It's that the main person is Hillary Swank, and she has now partnered up with local indigenous woman who she herself lost a loved one. So far so good on it. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it certainly is helpful in raising the awareness of this whole, I call it a pandemic because it's everywhere. It's a global epidemic, which is a pandemic. But the interesting thing is how many people have reached out to me to ask me, have I watched it? Did I know about it? And these are non-Native people that are you know, learning so much about it, and they want to know more about it. I had a constituent of mine call me and ask me where can they donate to any of the work that's being done here in Minnesota. And I was able to guide her towards or make some suggestions to some of the nonprofits that are working with violence against women. But, you know, it's building the awareness, and that's really what we needed to do. So up until this point, into a few of the episodes, I'm satisfied with it, and it really intrigued as well. But as time goes on, we'll have to keep our eye on it.
Right. And we always have to be careful because, you know, one of dancing with Kevin Costner as a white savior and those things that pop up seem to really bother us. And I agree with that. But so far, so good. And I think, you know, Hillary Swank's done some quality stuff over the years. I think she's won two Academy Awards, if not one for sure. But so, yeah, that was interesting to see what was going to happen with that. And I noticed Smoke Signals fame. Irene was on there as the mother of one of the girls that was snatched, and she's been around in film for many years now. So I'm sure it has a quality that we can all agree that and like, because there is a Native influence just by having her there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So can't get over reservation dogs. We got dark. What was that car? Dark. Dang, I can't remember it. And the heck's the name of the show? The dark, not dark spirits, but
dark winds.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, Ogma, thank you much. That we've had some really good representation lately in television, and I personally think a lot of the things that are happening in a good way in Indian country is because of what happened in Standing Rock. And I don't know, State Senator, I think a lot of things really opened up for us. Things, with George Floyd being murdered here in the Twin Cities. I don't think personally that it was just a big wave, and I don't think the Washington football team would have changed their name if the advertisers didn't put pressure on them and start taking things out. But that was, during what happened with George Floyd, And so good things are happening, and what your work is hard, but it's really another good thing that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, when we think about the generations past, how they have struggled just for survival, just to be able to, Native folks have, one of the shortest lifespans.
Right.
And we have, expanded that almost with every generation. And so really and truly, we are standing on the shoulders of those ancestors that persevered, worked so hard, and supported the next generation in the best way that they can in spite of their own personal traumas. So I think we're at a place in the cycle of our Native Indigenous where we're healthy enough. We have more opportunities, should we say, in some ways than the last generation. And we're using those opportunities to become educated, to be employed in areas that make a difference, whether it's public health or education or politics, And so as I was looking out in the crowd last night at this event with all these leaders, it was so heartwarming. It was at times overwhelming to see all of the incredible good work that they are all doing in our communities. And it's happening across the nation as well. And so we see more and more of our Native folks stepping up and running for office and getting elected. We see more and more organizations being run by Native folks with a Native value system and moral system. And that really appeals to so many people. And as you said, what happened in Standing Rock and then George Floyd really brought the awareness much closer to home than ever before. And you hate to say that those misfortunes are our fortune in this day and age, but the global awareness, I mean, literally global awareness of these situations has empowered us in many ways. And I think, before we were afraid to, afraid or reluctant to report incidences or to make a fuss because we've always been quelled mostly with violence and, depriving us of the resources owed to us. But that's not happening anymore. We're standing up and speaking our truth, and we're speaking it loudly, and people are joining us.
Yeah, yes, they are. Yeah, and it's exciting. I think, too, I had a chance to talk. I bumped into, as a matter of fact, our new legislator from Duluth, Alicia. She was there, and what great energy, right? And I didn't realize that her father was, and that's an amazing pedigree.
Yeah,
who just passed away.
Yeah, she's going to bring a lot of energy to the Minnesota State House of Representatives. When I met her and we started trying to convince her to run for office, she was running for the House. I'm like, no, move to a different district and run for the Senate. I mean, it would be such a hoot to have her in the Minnesota Senate. But I know that she'll do really good work. You know, she's a non-binary, Native Latinx young woman who has experienced a lot of, you know, troubles and struggles in her own life. And yeah, as you said, she's a legacy person, and I think she'll do great things for the state of Minnesota.
And that's exciting that we have the House, and I hate to rub it in with Wisconsin and the Dakotas and other listeners out there, but I am so happy that we have the Senate, because I know there was a lot of, I don't want to say personal struggle for you, State Senator, but there was a lot of struggle to get anything done in the Senate.
It was indeed a struggle. Minnesota, the last 2 years, was a split legislature with the majority of Dems in the House and the majority of Republicans in the Senate, and then a Democrat for a governor. We flipped the Senate this time with just one person making the majority. So we now have the trifecta here in Minnesota. I don't know what other state has that, but we are going to make the best of this time that we have and really do the best that we can for Minnesota.
Thank you so much. And you are doing the best, State Senator Mary Kunish. I thank you again for stopping in. Always great to talk to you in person. Such a great positive vibe. And I'm glad it comes out here in the radio that you're a very positive person and you're a doer. So thanks for stopping in.
You bet.
Hey, well, up next, Ogama and I, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, that was a good two-part harmony. Oh, hey, anyone want to go on and give us a call? 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. So we have a little room to come on in and say hello and say maybe a happy birthday to somebody or whatever you want to talk about. But while we're waiting for the phone lines to fill up, Ogama, you know, this past week's been pretty intense, you know, nationally with the seats, Pelosi leaving, any kind of, she's not leaving her seat, but any kind of position, you know, mm-hmm. she's been doing it for 20 years. She's 82 years old. Her husband was attacked. So she deserves
to. Yeah, that in and of itself is a reason to walk away from something like that, especially as an elder. I mean, I can't imagine what she must be going through. And I don't know, have you heard any updates on how Nancy Pelosi's husband is doing?
Well, the only update, and it's real vague, but I mean, think about it. If you're 80-some years old and got hit in the head with a hammer, how long it would take. It would take a long time for anybody to recover, and mm-hmm. they're just vaguely saying that he's recovering, but heck, you know, when you're at that age, though, it's hard to bounce back at all, period.
Right, and, you know, CNN reported that when she found out about this, that her husband, Paul Pelosi, had been attacked, she was in Washington, D.C., and got a knock on the door from Capitol Police, and seeing that it was 5 a.m., she thought there was a wrong door. And the Capitol Police said they had come to talk to her. And she said her thoughts immediately went to her children and her grandchildren, you know, like what is wrong and what is the danger to the rest of my family? And I mean, this type of violence that is incited by people like the orange maniac in office for the last 4 years were, this is not an accident.
Well, let me just read this real quick from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Garland named special counsel to lead Trump-related probes. Washington Attorney General Merrick Garland named a special counsel on Friday, which is today, to oversee the Justice Department's investigation to the presence of classified documents at the former president's Donald Trump's Florida estate, as well as key aspects of a separate probe involving the January 6, 2021 insurrection and efforts to undo the 2020 election. So, you know, we worry, or I should say I worry, that if anything's ever going to come about, and I'll tell you, Ogama, if it's me or your husband, we would have been in jail a long time ago. I mean, so they're trying to cross the T's and dot the I's when it comes to prosecuting a former president, which really has never been done. I know there's been a few impeachments with Johnson after Lincoln. They tried to impeach him. They were going to impeach Nixon, mm-hmm. and they did impeach Trump Clinton. Twice. Was it twice or three times? But
yeah, I think it was twice, but I guess I can't be sure because he just, nothing happened, you know, and the fact that there's not been any real accountability for him and people are still supporting him is, you know, until he's labeled, and maybe even if he's labeled a criminal officially by some sort of title. I mean, what blows my mind right now is currently the Supreme Court of the United States is spending their time on trying to strip rights of Native people away and our sovereignty to keep our children with us, and having absolutely nothing to do with the maniac that has caused so much havoc in our country. I mean, what is the point of our higher levels of justice if they're not taking that sort of action?
Hey, can I even complain a little more about these new Republicans running the House nationally? They want to, instead of doing things that they ran on, like high gas prices and recession, they're going to go after Biden's son, and it's going to be almost like another Hillary investigation will go on, and they won't find anything. Instead of doing what hopefully they were elected to do, and that's make laws and make things better for American citizens. And so that's a really, really big joke that I don't know if you saw that, but last night they're all ready to go and indict him for COVID and closing this, you know, the country down and, you know, all these BS kind of things instead of like, let's move forward. You guys have let's do some of your bills and let's do some government stuff. But again, it's hard for me to believe or even know what the Republicans are for because they're just against things. You know, what are they running on? I mean, we had a governor that was still running for governor against the current governor that was still all upset about the schools closing and that it was a COVID denier. And he got his hand, you know, hand to him. He got, you know, more than that. But it's just amazing that they're falling back on that, Ogma. It's like, let's get some governing done.
Right. And that's just really it, is we need to get some governing done. And this whole mudslinging distractionary campaign to make sure that if anything gets completed, well, it's basically if it's not going to be our agenda, we're not going to let you get anything else completed. And this red herring arguments over and over again about things that just have nothing to do with what's actually at stake. It's just, it's getting really old. And I think that unfortunately it's going to take a really huge collapse of a lot of government systems on behalf of people in Republican seats for people to really wake up and realize, oh, wait, it was my representatives who caused these problems for me and my life. And I pray it doesn't take that. But I mean, I don't know what else is going to wake people up to what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Does it have to get worse to get better? Or are people going to really realize in 2 years when we have another election, really what the heck's going on and how do they feel about people that stand for nothing running on hoaxes and fake lies? They pretty much all got beat, all of mega people across the country. And so really excited that that's the case, but you know, it's not over and it's going to be a fight for a long time. And again, I really appreciate you bringing up the Supreme Court. And I think one of the things that that I've come about, and I think I talked to Robert Lilligren yesterday about this, was that, you know, as a kid, we were supposed to really, I really appreciated and respected the Supreme Court, and now I don't. Now I don't, and it's because of the psychopath that Lori just put up on our Facebook here that got these unqualified mega chief justices now at the Supreme Court.
Hey, Robert, we got just a couple of minutes left, and it sounds like we have somebody on the line. We just have 1 minute left, but I just wanted to give a shout out. Looks like we have Jason from McGeezy Will Fly on the line, and I don't know if you want to try to squeeze him in with 1 minute left, Robert.
Heck yeah. Jason, stop in. What's up?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Raju.
Just want to make everyone aware that about the ICLA hearings going on in Washington, D.C. I know you said something about the Supreme Court just a little bit ago. I was there on the ground, and we did some actions, it's hopefully we can turn the tides with it against that Gibson and Dunn. And
Well, hey, I just want to say, Jason, I just want to say Peeny Geegee, and I know you're a doer and you've been boots on the ground for the last few years, and I just want to say a big thank you, Peeny Geegee, for who you are. And we're ending the show right now, and thanks for calling in. Hey, if you listen to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the